Let's return now to our ongoing coverage of Puerto Rico, where a controversial contract to restore power to the island has been canceled by Puerto Rican power company officials. This comes as the island continues to deal with power outages and shortages, and also news that hundreds of deaths ruled to be from natural causes may have been misidentified. Nidhi Prakash is a reporter at BuzzFeed News. Nidhi, welcome.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
You've just come back from Puerto Rico. What's the latest?
That's right. So I was there for nearly 3 weeks, Todd. And basically, while I was there on the ground, I kept hearing from people that the official death count is lower than what they thought it should be, that there were more people in this town or that town that they knew of who had died because of the hurricane. So essentially what I did was I went to, you know, went to the source, went to the funeral directors, to the crematorium directors who were receiving these bodies. And what they told me was that they'd received far more, dozens more bodies of people who they said were related to the hurricane, who had died of causes related to the hurricane, than the ones that were being counted in the death count.
And so why designate some of those deaths natural causes and not to other causes?
So I think that the underlying problem here is that there is no clear guidance from the central government about what counts as a hurricane-related death and what doesn't. So that is the kind of communication gap that I definitely encountered there on the ground, is that funeral directors don't actually know that they're supposed to classify things differently or even take action differently if they think that someone has passed away because of the hurricane.
To be clear, citizens around those towns don't think there's some cover-up of the severity of the storm and its aftermath, right? This just seems to be a classification problem?
So to be honest with you, I don't think they know what's going on the kind of central government level, partly because many people are still really disconnected. So there's still something like 2.5 million people who don't have energy and, you know, a lot of people who still don't have cell service. So they're quite disconnected, but all they know is that there are a lot more people that they're seeing in their communities who have died because of the lack of energy in their homes or in the hospitals who aren't showing up on that death count.
And with 900 people cremated, as we said at the top, we may never know the actual cause of death.
Right. I mean, I think that's the thing, is that so far the central government, you know, when I took this story to them, they still see it as a completely separate process. They're not sort of correlating those deaths with possibly what's going on with the hurricane. They're sort of saying these are two completely separate issues, which, from talking to funeral directors, they consider many of those deaths to be hurricane related.
Well, Nidhi, while these funeral directors and loved ones reckon with these deaths in Puerto Rico, the island is trying to rebuild. Let's talk about this Whitefish contract to rebuild the electrical grid in Puerto Rico. Got a lot of attention last week, including on this show. A $300 million contract to this small company in Montana, no-bid contract, has now been canceled by authorities. Why canceled?
That's right. So yesterday, the head of PREPA, which is the Puerto Rico Electric Authority, Ricardo Ramos, held a press conference and said that finally the contract will be canceled. That's after pressure for a week from the governor, from congressional investigations that are now underway, from local investigations that are also underway into the contract. And that's because the contract essentially, it didn't follow the kind of procedure that is normally followed after a disaster. So there's normally a process that involves going through the American Public Power Association. That association essentially has members in public utilities across the country. And so after a disaster like Harvey or like Irma, the local governments went through that association to contract public utilities to come in and help restore the grid. That is not what the Puerto Rican government did. They went to this private company, which was, you know, a little known company in Montana that it turns out is also based in the same small, as you mentioned, in this, it's from the same hometown as the Interior Secretary. So this has raised some questions to begin with. Additionally, it's just that lack of procedure that wasn't followed. So there wasn't an open bidding process in the lead up to it. So all of these questions have been coming up over the past week.
Well, there are also clauses in this contract that said the profits of Whitefish could not be audited by the government at all. And Nidhi, Maggie Kurth Baker of 538 was on the show last week, and she said there's a long history of shady contracts and potential corruption at PREPA. That looks like it started to catch up with the Puerto Rican government.
That's right. This has been a troubled authority for a long time. And I think another thing to keep in mind here is that it was deeply in debt when the storm hit. It was several billion dollars in debt to begin with. One of the justifications that the head of the power authority has given for entering into these contracts is that those usual mutual aid agreements require some guarantee of payment, and that Whitefish, he says, didn't ask for that guarantee.
So, Nidhi Prakash, we're going to keep following this story. What does Puerto Rico still need since you've just returned?
So, you know, I think, to be honest with you, Todd, the most urgent, pressing thing is water. Water and power. And obviously, you know, people are being given estimates of 6 to 7 months before the power is restored in many parts of Puerto Rico. I think without that baseline, it's going to be a long road to recovery.
Nidhi Prakash with BuzzFeed. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Todd.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.